We are so deeply grateful to be able to come to you with this message today. This message is going to be one, as they all should be, of spiritually discerning the Scriptures. And the two on the road to Emmaus, after the Lord Jesus appeared to them and then went away from them, they said, "Did not our heart burn within us while he opened to us the Scriptures?" Dear soul, we can read the Bible, quote unquote, and be nothing but mere religionists. But for the Holy Spirit to open to us the Scriptures, it brings us into the inner sanctum. It tears the veil and brings us into the Holy of Holies. I'm praying for your soul, for your heart, soul, mind, and body, for every part of our aspect, for that we might enter into the holy place today, because we're going to have to see the Son. That's the title of our message, Seeing the Son. John chapter 6 and verse number 40. John 6, 40. We'll begin reading with verse number 35, but our message is on verse 40, He that seeth the Son. John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. You need to study the I ams in the word. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Do you have any friends or relatives that are in eternity right now that are born again? How are they living? They ain't got no teeth, no stomach. They ain't got no brain to think. They ain't got no mouth to chew. This is it. He that believeth on me shall never hunger. They're living off the presence of God's eternal glory. And that's how we shall live, should live right here on earth as we are Christians. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living appetite. That Hebrew word soul is translated appetite. So we eat and feast off the person of God. That's how we live, and that by the Spirit. But he said unto you, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. They saw and did not believe. Verse 37, John 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That's the Father's will. Now, the second part of the Father's will, John 6, 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, that's our lesson title, seeing the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we thank the Lord for the privilege and the opportunity to see the Son. Now, what are we talking about? Immediately, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Hebrews, James, here I go. 1 Peter, there it is. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, though your faith be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's who we're talking about. Last two words of verse 7. Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Whom, having not seen, ye love. None of us have actually physically looked upon the person of Jesus of Bethlehem. None of us have ever looked upon and seen the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Peter clearly tells you, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye see him not, here it is, yet believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Dear soul, listen, I saw the Lord today. How did you see him? With my eyes closed. I saw him without the without the vision that I have in my eyes. It's not talking about seeing the sun like you see the S-U-N as it rises up in the morning. It's talking about a contemplation and a discerning spirit and awareness of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love. But he that seeth the Son is the only ones that have life. That's what our verse said in John 6:40. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. Look at John chapter 3. How do we see the Son? None of us will ever see the S-O-N in this day, in this natural life. There's nobody in the entire world that are true born-again Christians that have had a personal view of the person of Jesus of Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. None of us. But the Bible said, if you see the Son, you have life. So how in the world can they say that they are born-again believers if they have not seen the Son? Because we are not talking about physical sight. Whom having not seen ye love. 1 Peter 1:8. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Where did you get your natural eyes? Well, mama said when I was born, day later my eyes were open, my eyes popped wide open. I got them from a birth. Why did God do that? Because he wants to show you that the natural birth is a picture of the spiritual birth. When did you come to see the Lord Jesus Christ and be aware of his glory? When did you come to stop hating going to church and sitting under preaching and seeing the peoples of God differently? When did you come to do that? When I was born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's why I don't argue with anybody about the kingdom of God. Some of them say, well, it's the kingdom of heaven. It's not the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of heaven. And it's different, and this is... Don't talk to me about that. If you don't see the kingdom, it just means you're not born again. I had rather sit on the back row talking to some little, as far as the natural is concerned, and the spirit in that church entity, just one that's despised and rejected of the church. Nobody sits with them. Nobody talks to them. I'd rather sit with them and hear them tell me about seeing Jesus than to get up on the front row and listen to Dr. Bottlestopper argue with me about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. If you can't see it, you ain't born again. Period. That's what Jesus said. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Those who are born again have already seen it, and they've already entered it. And they are, even though they have not seen him, according to 1 Peter 1:8, they love him. He is the love of their life. Charity never faileth. Tongues and prophecies and all this shall pass away. But dear soul, when I became a man, after that which is perfect has come, the love of God came into my life. Then I began to see and I put away childish things. That's what the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's what the book said. It said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I used to see through a glass darkly, sitting in church, wondering what in the world is this all about. I had a legal understanding of the do's and don'ts of carnal religion. I was nothing but a religionist who was a legal religionist. But when that which is perfect had come to my heart, and that is love, love's the only thing that is perfect. Charity never faileth. Everything else in this passage faileth and passes away. So when that which is perfect has come, I put away childish things. I used to see through a glass darkly, but now I see Christ face to face. You can't say that, preacher. You've never seen Jesus, whom having not seen, we love. Not talking about physical sight. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. Do you believe that I know that I'm saved? Well, yeah, I think you're saved. Well, you're only saved by seeing the Son. So don't tell me I haven't seen the Son face to face, as it were. I'm talking about spiritual sight. God's talking about spiritual sight. Listen, way back yonder in the olden days, back when I was a teenager, wow, that's a long time ago, our uncle came to visit us in the little city of LaGrange where I lived. He had been in World War II and had been stationed in Italy and had married a lovely Italian lady. And the thing about it was, he didn't have that much conviction, and her mom and daddy said, you can't marry our daughter unless you become a Roman Catholic. He said, okay. So he became a Roman Catholic. Well, I didn't know anything about Roman Catholics. My great aunt was a Presbyterian, and she come and picked us up in her old green 48 Plymouth with a straight stick, and you had to have a long hand to put it up in second gear, a long arm to put it up in second gear. She'd drive us downtown LaGrange, and the First Baptist Church was on one corner of the block, and the Presbyterian Church was on the other. She'd drop us off at the Baptist Church, and she'd go on down to the Presbyterian. So that's all I knew, was Presbyterian and Baptist. And I didn't really know that much about either one of them. But I didn't know anything about Roman Catholicism. But with my uncle in town, he said, I want y'all to go to church with me. Church, okay. To me, that meant Baptist church. So we got in his car and went downtown to LaGrange, and we passed the First Baptist Church where we were used to going. And he drove on down the road and then pulled into this building that I didn't know what it was. It was a Roman Catholic church. And we went in, and it was funny. He just walked up a couple of benches, and he kneeled down and touched his head and his shoulders and his stomach and then got up and walked down some more. And I thought, what is he doing? And I saw all these statues. Well, I had learned enough in Sunday school to understand and know that God said you're not supposed to have any images. So I asked him. His name was Brown. How about that? A color. His name was Brown Lane. And I said, Uncle Brown. He said, yeah. Can I ask you a question? Sure. Why y'all got all these statues? And he said something that I have never forgotten. I have forgotten most of everything I ever learned when I was a teenager, but I haven't forgot this. He looked at me in the eye and he said, they help us to worship God. And I've thought about that for all these years. And I thought, no, that ain't right. But that's the way all idolatry has come. There's even Baptist Romanism. People who have to have visual aids physically to be able to worship God. If there's not a man standing in a pulpit on a Sunday at a certain time, dressed in a certain way, with a big old black Bible in front of them, they don't think they have worshiped. Well, what are you going to do when you're down there on the job and the boss blesses you out about something you didn't do? Well, I'll go in the bathroom and cry. Well, what has that got to do with God? How do you find any help if you don't know and see and perceive and understand the invisible God unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God? Be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. God is invisible. No man hath seen God at any time. That's what the Bible said. God told Moses, no man can look upon my face and live. You can't stand the glory. Dear soul, but the Bible keeps on going and it says, but we see Jesus. Woo! Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus. Listen, you ignorant little preacher, you ain't never seen Jesus. Yes, I have, because I've entered the kingdom. Yes, I have, because I'm born again. Yes, I have, because he that seeth the Son is the only are the only ones that have eternal life. Do you understand that, dear soul? Listen, now that I have put away the childish things, I look and see him face to face, and that which is perfect has come into my life. The Holy Spirit and the love of God. God is love, and God has come into my heart. So the love of God and God the love has entered into me, and I see these things clearly. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. There's so much I want to teach you about this. But dear soul, you already know every bit of this. It's like Brother Bobby told me this morning, the word of God came and confirmed that which I already knew. Dear soul, John said, I don't write to you because you don't know the truth. Read your Bible. What did he say? I write unto you because you know the truth, and in the truth there is no lie. So I'm just telling you that which the Holy Spirit has already revealed to you. And if I say anything that the Holy Spirit doesn't back up, hit the reject button and let the red light come on and let the horns honk and say, throw that out. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. This is the believer. Let's read verse 17. All right, the boss just blessed you out in something you didn't do, and he's totally convinced it was your fault, and you know you didn't do it, and you know that the person who did do it is lying on you, and they're not going to tell the truth. What are you going to do? All right, that's the reason I backed up to verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. For our light affliction, which worketh but for a moment, were you in that shape yesterday? No. We went on a picnic yesterday and had a great time over the weekend. I'm in the bathroom crying day on Monday because the boss blessed me out. Is that going to be forever? Well, two or three weeks or days or whatever down the road, somebody rats on that person that really did it, and the boss calls you in there and said, I'm sorry, I thought it was you, but it wasn't. So it was a light affliction that lasted but for a moment. How are you going to handle those situations? Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How in the world did that work an exceeding weight of glory for me? Because you're supposed to, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Wait a minute. How do you look at the things which are not seen? Hold your place. Stick your finger right there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11. I know it's in my Bible. There it is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now faith is the substance or the confidence of things hoped for. It is the evidence. It is the essence. It is the assurance of things not seen. What? What is the evidence of things not seen? Faith. Okay, go into the bathroom and squall and cry and get yourself straightened out, put water on your face, and come back out and do your job. And I ain't going to do a good job for him. He ain't no good. The Bible said we need to work good for our physical masters because that's your testimony before the Lord. And so you go back out and you say, well, you know what? This thing's going to work for my good. It can't happen to me except it works together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. It's got to work together for good. I guess it's got to wait and wait to see what God does and how he works it out. 3 days later, the boss calls you in his office and straightens it all out. Well, what was the problem with that? What was the worst thing about that? Boss thought I did it. No, that's not the worst thing. What was the worst thing about it? You didn't see Jesus. You should have said, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to enter into the fellowship of your sufferings because you were accused of that which you could not do, that which you did not do, for God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't do it. The first Adam did do it and blamed it on his wife. The last Adam didn't do it and kept his mouth shut because he wanted to redeem you back to God. So you didn't see Jesus. You should have went to the bathroom. Yes, you're human. You might have cried a little bit. Yes, it might have upset you. It would have upset me. It would have hurt one of my feelings. But unless you get to Jesus, then that thing is going to be for naught, and you're going to have to go through it again. Every time we fail to come to Christ in an affliction, and he said we glory in our tribulations. Why? Read that passage. A tribulation worketh patience, and in your patience possess ye your souls. And patience works experience, and experience worketh hope. And this soul, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. If you will wait, the process will work itself out. It cannot fail. So the bad part about that thing wasn't the boss blaming you, and it wasn't that lying other employee that's snickering under her breath and under his breath saying, I got by with it, I blamed it on him. The bad thing about it was it didn't get you to Jesus. That's terrible. You mean God came and manifested himself to me in the pattern and the character of his cross? Jesus had to pay back that which he did not owe. He had to give back that which he did not take away. He had to suffer for that which he did not do. And he kept his mouth shut. And dear soul, it takes a while for the believer to learn how to do that. But you need to understand that those things happen to us because God loves us. And if you need a good fiery trial to burn out some of that fleshly pride in you, and it is in all of us, it is in me, dear soul, then God will give you a sanctified affliction. We're so busy trying to get people down off their crosses and say, well, they shouldn't suffer like this. Really? Then how come they're suffering like that? It had to be God's will. It can't come to them except God's wills. The devil cannot touch a believer except without permission with God. And so we understand and see, dear soul, the thing that is our problem is, it is the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. By faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of a king. Now listen. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, do you see what that Pharaoh did to me? Well, is he the king of kings? Well, no. Well, isn't he on the throne? God said, I put Pharaoh on the throne that he might declare my name throughout the whole earth. Yeah. And what was it you failed to do? I failed to see that King Jesus is sitting on his throne, and he don't make no mistakes. And when I saw him who is invisible, I didn't fear the wrath of the little king. Come out of that bathroom smiling, and your dear friend that works in the station next to you comes up and puts their arm around you. Oh, are you okay? I heard what happened to you. Instead of saying, well, the boss made me responsible for what I did, you say, yeah, I'm okay. And they think, I thought I was going to comfort him or her, whoever it was. But they find out that you got some other comforter. I will send you another comforter. Listen, a comforter is not just something you put on your bed. And you know us dumb old men, we don't know half the stuff that women know. They know about dust ruffles and pillow shams and all that stuff. And, well, we've got to go buy a comforter. But what in the world is that? Well, you don't say nothing because you don't want them your wife to know how dumb you are. So you just wait to see where she takes you. And she takes you right to the bedding department at the store, and she buys a comforter. But dear soul, we got more than a comforter that matches the curtains and the paint in the room, in the bedroom, and the matches the dust ruffles and the pillow shams. I'll give you another comforter. Another comforter? That means you already got one? Yeah. What's his name? Jesus. I'm not going to leave you without comfort. He's going to be with you and going to be in you. You can't ever be without him, because your body's going to be his temple. Ain't that good? So the thing about it wasn't that the boss accused you of something you didn't do and that was a bad problem. That ain't the worst problem. The worst problem is you didn't get to Jesus, whom having not seen, we love. Oh, Lord, is this how it felt when they said, crucify him, crucify him? When just a few days ago, they was hollering, glory to God in the highest, and putting their coats and palm branches in front of your donkey so that you might be glorified. Yeah. Well, thank you, Lord, for letting me know how you felt when they hollered, crucify him, when you were not worthy of death, because the wages is something that you get paid. The wages, you earned it. The wages of sin is death. He's got to experience death, but he didn't earn the wages. I didn't do what the boss is totally convinced that I did. And what if, and here comes all those things of the devil. What if this keeps on going? And what if this keeps you from getting that promotion? And what if that keeps you from getting that raise? And what if they fire you? And what if you lose your job? And what if you have to go home and tell your mate, I lost my job and we're going to have to cut back on this, that, and the other, and we can't buy that new car? What if, what if, what if? And all of those what ifs, you should just throw them in the garbage and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. We glory in our tribulations. Why? Because it enters us into the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, I like being in this fellowship. These fellas know, you know, that I love them, they love me, and we just have a big time. We're just two fellas in the same ship. What about Jesus? You left him out. You throw rocks at Peter and say, you are terrible because you denied God, but there you are squalling in the bathroom because the boss accused you of something you didn't do, and you just got through denying the Lord. How'd you deny him? You didn't go to him. You were so concerned about you that you didn't get to him. That's what I'm talking about. Seeing him who is invisible. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. You can't get a true believer down. You can't destroy him. You can knock him down, but you can't knock him out. Seven times the scripture said, I have been knocked down, but I've never been separated from the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Neither powers nor principalities or things present or things come or any other thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, Paul said in the book of Romans. Oh, dear soul, you didn't know that on your way to work that morning when you was listening to that gospel hour and you loved that song that they played, that you just having a good time, zippity-doo-dog, zippity-yay, my oh my, what a wonderful day. And then the boss calls you in his office and wham, you lost every bit of it. Why? You forgot to see the Son. If you'd seen the Son, that would have been a light affliction which lasted but for a moment, and you would understand things from the viewpoint of eternal glory. And you say, this ain't just about the boss and that lying person and me. This is about Jesus Christ and my soul. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. That's what the Bible said. If we suffer, we shall reign. Wonder why you ain't been reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ, R-E-I-G-N. Why have you not consistently set in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because I quit seeing the sun and I started judging everything from a viewpoint of my feelings, my reputation, my bank account, what I want, my goals, my purpose. Sounds like you just put yourself ahead of Jesus. No wonder God brings these trials upon us. Oh, my soul. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse number 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, excuse me. Numbers, Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29 and verse number 4. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. You say, I've got eyes, and Jesus said that quite often, and so did the apostles. Who having eyes, they see not. Who having ears, they hear not. What are they talking about? Well, they took you out of your mother's body and placed you in her arms, and she starts checking you out. Got all of their fingers? Yep. Got all their toes? Yep. What about their eyes? Yeah, there they are. They got eyes, but they're not entered into the kingdom because the Bible said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Dear soul, are you seeing the kingdom? Are you understanding from a viewpoint of God's manifestation to you? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 20. It is a glorious verse because it is a glorious thing that God has done for us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. How do you know that? And hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is two things, the true God and eternal life. Dear soul, mama checks out that newborn baby and see if they got eyes. The Holy Spirit checks out those who are born again and see, do they have eyes? Can you see him who is invisible, therefore you don't fear the wrath of the Pharaoh? Can you see him who is invisible and go out of that boss's office praising God and thanking God like the disciples did, that we were counted worthy to be beaten and to be ostracized and to be rebuked for the name of Jesus? Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Let me read you a verse. Well, ain't that what you're doing here? I'm reading you a lot of verses. All right, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This is where they call them the Beatitude. This is the attitude you ought to be. Listen. Verse number 8. Blessed, Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wait a minute. You didn't mention my eyeball. They ain't talking about eyeballs. This ain't physical sight. We're talking about your heart, and we ain't talking about that pump that pumps blood and thumps in your chest. We're talking about the soul, the seat of our emotions, the soul of man. He breathed into his nostrils and it became a living soul. Blessed are the pure in heart. The eyes that see God are the pure heart of the true believers. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What happened to him? He's different. What happened to her? She's different. Well, she got saved. What? I thought that they was a member of that church over yonder on the corner. you know, their cousin is the pastor, and they've been members of that church for years. Their mama and daddy and granddaddy grew up in that church. Yep, that's them. But being a member of a church doesn't make you a born-again believer. And only born-again believers who have their hearts purified by the washing of the blood of Christ and the continuous washing of water by the Word of God, those pure-hearted ones see God. Well, I knew there's something different about them, but they've always invited me to their church socials and invited me to their church revival meetings, invited me to this, that, and the other, and always talking to me about what their church is doing and what the preacher preached. But now they're different. They're not pushing and promoting churchanity. They're just basking in the glorious love of God and telling you of Him whom their soul loves. They are seeing Him that is invisible. They're bringing to bear upon me that which I never saw before. They used to bring to bear upon me churchanity and religiosity and church programs and schedules and all that stuff. But now, there's a sweetness about them. There's an eternal awareness about them that I've never seen before. Now they're not promoting the church on the corner. They're talking about the kingdom of God. Well, how do they see the kingdom of God? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Blessed are the pure in heart. They, and may I add, only they shall see God. Well, here we are, Lord. We're in heaven. Our bus just pulled up here, St. Peter's Gate, and we're coming in. Stop. Why we got to stop? We did many wonderful works. You preached on our streets. And we have done all kinds of glorious things. And he said, depart from me, watch it, ye workers of iniquity, for I knew you not. This is awful. There's no going back from this. There's no second chance. Go straight to the pits of the damned right now. But Lord, puts his fingers in it, I don't want to hear you. Why? You never saw me. Your poor Uncle Brown said he saw those statues and people walk over to them and kiss their hand and touch their foot. And they look at those statues and they say, I feel so inspired. That's inordinate affection promoted by the devil. And 99% of religion in our Bible Belt, dear soul, is carried on by inordinate affections and the powers of demons. Say amen. That's the broad way. Are you in the narrow way? Few there be that find it. Fear not, little flock. Dear soul, he that seeth the Son believeth on him hath life. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Isn't that great? Isn't God good? Oh, my soul. Matthew chapter 13, while we're in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 11. My mouth's kind of dry up here. Brother Bobby just brings me the best water. Thank you, Brother Bobby and Sister Brenda. Matthew 13, 11. I said 11, but I meant 11. Matthew 13, 11. He answered and said unto them, well, I better read verse 10. His disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto me, unto them in parables? And religion has said, well, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Ain't that great? That ain't right. Listen, a parable is a story that gives understanding to God's elect, God's redeemed, those who are born again, and the one sitting right next to them that ain't born again, that's not redeemed, don't have a clue as to what you're talking about. It shuts out one and reveals to the other. Listen. He answered and said unto them, because it is given, watch it now, unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. A parable is a secret message to the elect church of God. A parable is the secret message of God the Holy Ghost whispering things to your heart that he ain't telling the brother or the sister, that is, church brother or sister sitting before you or behind you on the pew. They don't know all what the preacher's talking about, even though they might be hollering amen louder than anybody else. They ain't got a clue as what you're talking about because they do not see the sun. They do not see the sun. Listen. But to them it is not given. For whomsoever hath what? Hath eternal life. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. Ain't that good? God ain't through shoveling good stuff onto you, friend. God ain't through filling your plate with good things to eat. Joseph gave old Benjamin twice as much as he gave everybody else. Dear soul, if you are God's brother, you are God's servant, you are God's elect, he will load you up with good things to eat. Listen. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. What does that mean? Well, he had a natural inclination for this. She had a natural talent for that. But they didn't have an understanding of God, and it begins to erode and have an effect upon that which they claimed was their gift in the flesh. Shall be taken away even that he had. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because, and here it is, watch it now, because they seeing, see not. Well, he's got a good understanding of things financial, of things material, of things mechanical, of things whatever. Well, I don't know anybody knows any more about farming than he does. But can he see the Lord Jesus? I hope so. Because seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. They might go away from the same sermon and the same service you were in, and out there in the parking lot, they just delighted and giggling and happy and talking. Boy, wasn't that good? Used to have a man come up to me and just burn me up every time he'd do it, but he'd do it every time he came to church. Brother, that was a real smoker today. Go away. I don't want to hear that. Brother, you really burned one in on us. And boy, that was a real smoker. You say that every time. That was a real smoker today. Or it was a really hot message. And he didn't know God from third base. Listen. They get excited about being excited. And then, and we keep reading. Listen. Therefore, verse 13 of Matthew 13, speak out of them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith in Isaiah 6 and verse 9 and 10, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. You don't have the understanding of what you see. You have no perception of what you hear. For this people's heart, there's the problem. It ain't their ears and their eyes. They got ears and eyes. But the vessel that's supposed to be seeing and hearing is the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they, and only they, shall see God. Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Isn't that good? Let's go immediately to John 20, the book of John, chapter 20, verses 28 and 29. Thomas was having trouble, and he said, unless I stick my bony finger into his tender side, I ain't going to believe. And Jesus appeared to him in the upper room, all of them, when they were assembled together. He said, come on, Thomas. Pierce my side again with your bony finger. Be not faithless, but believing. Verse 28, John 20. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God, shamed him. Brought him out from his arrogance and shamed him. And listen what Jesus said in John 20:29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. It took actual, visible seeing of actual, literal Jesus of Nazareth for Thomas to believe. Listen. This will get you in on if you'll listen to me. Listen. John 20:29b. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And Peter said in 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love. Christian, have you seen Jesus? Yes. But what if a believer was to ask, an unbeliever were to ask, have you seen Jesus? You'll have to say no. Because they're talking about seeing him like Thomas saw him right here. But Jesus said, you know what? It's good that those who are around me here in my earthly ministry in my last 3 years on earth, it's good that they saw me and know that I was the Son of God. And I'm glad that they saw me physically and believed, but I want you to understand something. That's just a short period of time in his earthly ministry, 3.5 years. But now 2,023 years later, or 2,000 years later, everybody that has believed in the Lord Jesus from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth, God said, blessed are they. And dear soul, I want to encourage you today, blessed are you that have heard, that have seen, let me say it and get it right, excuse me. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You think sometimes you're wobbling on the axle, don't you? You think you're just not as good a Christian as everybody else is. You think, well, I'm just a poor sinner. Stop it. God has revealed to you the only one, the only thing that brings everybody into the kingdom of God. The Apostle Peter, as great, dear soul, as Paul was. They ain't no better than you. They didn't get in through something special, unless you consider knowing Jesus is something special. That's all anybody gets. You are not wobbling on the axle. You're not a weak Christian. There's no such thing. You may consider yourself not to be all you should be, and who is? I'm not all that I want to be. I'm not all that I could be. I'm not all that I should be. I bowed my head in my study in my basement in Tyrone, Georgia this morning and wept and said, Lord, I'm a wretched Christian. I'm a wretched sinner. I got to go over there and encourage those people with something that I don't have right now. Help me, Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit came and gave me this message for you and gave me this message for His glory. And peace came upon me. And dear soul, if you can receive it, the glory of God shone round about. I didn't see any great light. I didn't see anything any different with these eyes except the scriptures that God opened up to me, which I'm giving to you. Just like Jesse sent David to the soldiers in the battle with the Philistines with bread and cheeses, God has sent me over here with bread to show you, with bread and despair. There's plenty of bread. I am the bread. He that eateth me and drinketh my blood hath life. Are you consuming Christ right now? Are you believing? Are you seeing the Lord? In the year when King Uzziah died, Isaiah chapter 6, I saw also the Lord. All he'd been seeing was the natural king. Ooh, he's really something. And he was. Uzziah was almost on a level with Solomon of knowing all things about animal husbandry and botany and biology and all kinds of things. He was a scientist extraordinaire. And so Isaiah was just overcome by the greatness of King Uzziah. But in the year when King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and I said something, I did something that I had never been caused to see or do when I looked at King Uzziah. I said, woe is me, for I am undone, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips. Dear soul, you're not ever going to be able to see Jesus until you quit seeing your natural emotional heroes. Given him a name which is above every name in this world and also in the worlds to come, that at the name of Jesus, what is the name of Jesus? Lord. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's the glory, dear friend. Quit sitting over there in that corner in the dark and sniveling and saying, I'm not where I ought to be. Of course you're not. And you're never going to be in your own effort and in your own energy. You have to come to God by faith. You have to come to God through Jesus' definition of you. And he has called you my friend. And he has called you his sheep. So why would you act any different? Let me read you something. Ain't that what you've been doing? Well, yeah, that's me. I can't help it. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But you see your calling, brethren. What does that mean? It means when God called you into life. Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth. When God called you into spiritual life, when you were quickened, when you were born again, when God regenerated you, gave you life in the Spirit. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Did anybody consider you to be a wise person? Not really. Were you in your high school annual, one of those voted most likely to, whatever? Well, no. Then you're in the right category. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Listen, verse 27, 1 Corinthians 1, but God hath chosen, are you ready? The foolish things of the world. Does that get you in? Brother Gene, I'm just a foolish thing. Good. God identifies with you. Get out of the bathroom. Quit crying. Wash your face. Get back out there on the job and say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to enter into the fellowship of your suffering. Thank you, Lord, for knowing that in Adam I am nothing, that in the natural man I have nothing to brag upon. Everybody's weeping over there in Revelation chapter 5 because no man is worthy. You're unworthy. If Listen, the only reason God calls you is because you're unworthy. God saves sinners. Period. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. And things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that they think they are. Why? Here it is. 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. It's all about glory. It's all about glory. Why has God chosen you, dear soul? Because you are the foolish and the base things that nobody can confuse. You can't confuse yourself with anything glorious and high-minded and, you know, esteemed. You say, well, I shouldn't even have gotten honorable mention. Good. You're the one God saved. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, it's a sure thing. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Are you a realized sinner? Yes. God don't save nobody else. You say, but they all have sinned, but they don't admit it. They don't perceive it. They don't claim it. They don't own it. It is that God has caused us to understand and know that we are realized sinners, and secondly, that we are confessed sinners. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made, watch it, unto salvation. Are you confessing before God from your heart of hearts that you are a sinner? It takes a pure heart to do that. And what causes a pure heart? Seeing God. What's the result of a pure heart? Seeing God. What's the cause of a pure heart? Seeing God. And old Brother Caldwell used to say, no sinner ever wanted a new heart till he already had one. God quickened you and made you alive. Then you realized you were lost and undone without God. You didn't cry, God, save me, until you were given life to be able to perceive and understand and know that you were a sinner, and that your only hope was Jesus Christ. Our time is gone. Let's reread our verse in John chapter 20. John chapter 6 and verse number 40. Sit still, I'll get it right. John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me. This is the eternal Son of God saying, this is why I'm on earth. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I give you my word, I will raise you up at the last day. God bless you. I trust you have seen the Son. That's my earnest, sincere, God hoping, praying, believing prayer for you. Pray for me. God bless you.